The early trade for Tyre Power. Family safety is never up for trade.
Oh, it's a very good morning to you. It is Continental Tyres AFL Trade Radio on a massive Friday morning. And we'll get some action today, finally, because AFL Free Agency officially kicks off at 9 a.m. this morning. Some of those names that will move clubs. Dan McStay is going to go from the Lions to the Magpies. Carl Amon from Port Adelaide to Hawthorn. Jack Gunston from Hawthorn to the Lions. Liam Jones is off to the Bulldogs in interesting fashion. So there's a couple of the moves that we may see as quickly as today. You can have your say on any of that. 1300 23 55 48. The Bombers have a new coach. There was best and fairest everywhere last night. We'll discuss that. And we look forward to you having your say on any matters relating to the trade period. And I couldn't do it with a better person this morning. The five-time All-Australian goal-kicking legend from the Essendon Football Club has been dominating trade period for a long time. His name is Matthew Lord. Lordo, good morning.
Kane, great to be with you this morning. I missed you. I enjoyed working with Sammy Edmund. We had good fun.
It was, listen to that. It was
thanks,
good.
Thanks, Kane. Yeah, it's great to be back with you this morning. And I want to ask you, though, things you do in the morning. So I stayed at Crown last night. So I just treated.
I did see that.
I went all fanboy. I'm sitting there having some afternoon tea and they were coming from everywhere. So 1 minute, my son, there's Joel Selwood. There's Harry Taylor. There's Dangerfield. It just kept going on and on. Andrew Mackey, just the best and fairest was on last night. Geelong, so it was good. Just was able to sit there and enjoy having photos.
Well, that's how the other half do it.
Yeah, Lordo, that's right.
Just shacking up at the Crown. I saw Jacob with the boys, saw Dangerfield and Mackey and Selwood. Haven't they done it well, the Cats? I mean, has it been? It's been one of the most humble premierships I've ever seen. I actually spoke to Patrick Dangerfield on SEN yesterday in a separate interview, and I said that to him. They feel like they made a conscious effort to really include the players that didn't play, so they're conscious of that and sensitive to it. The fans, the special individuals that Levi Ablett and people like that, and also just the random people as well. Did you get that feeling?
Yeah, it's great. And what I would have thought too, like, so I said to my son, I said, because Dangerfield had about 8 pairs of Nike shoes beside him. And I said to my son, geez, if you become good at footy, look how many pairs of shoes you can get there. And anyway, my son had a little bit of a chat to Dangerfield. And you know what Danger was doing? He was giving a pair of shoes to staff members that he wanted to thank. One of them was my brother. So my brother, I don't know if he's got them yet, but that was Danger. So it's great what he's done with you, Kano, with the jumper. How's that going at the auction?
It's amazing. I'll have to look at what the actual figure is. But last time I checked, it was about $20,000 and every cent of that's going to my room. But we haven't spoken a lot about your brother, Simon. I mean, GM of football at a footy club is a significant role. Like, it's the conduit between, I guess, the board and the football club and the dealing with the players and coaching. And it encompasses everything, really. It's such an important role and you need a special person to be successful at it. But he's understated, isn't he? I haven't seen him do any. I think he's done a couple of interviews over here in Adelaide that I heard, but haven't seen him out and about. How's he feeling? And can you give me any insight into the role that he's played behind this premiership?
I've never seen him happier, Kano, because he's been in the AFL system for 22 years. So 22 years of experience. And this is the first time he's been involved in a premiership. So he was part of the Fremantle side that played against Hawthorn but lost the grand final. He was also with Collingwood. And I think he missed the 2010 premiership by a year. I think he maybe went to Fremantle that year. And then he's been part of Geelong losing grand finals. But it actually was really nice. Joel Selwood came up and I said, congratulations, Joel. And straight away he goes, gee, your brother's been good for us. He said he's had the worst job at the club. He said the amount of restructuring he's had to do in terms of telling people they've lost their jobs, telling people that their salary is going to be slashed. It's the worst job in football, but he's been able to still make sure our players are being developed, still make sure we're resourced in areas. So that's been interesting. I didn't think about it. Some clubs, for example, have fallen apart in certain areas or under-resourced themselves in certain areas. But Geelong have been able to, through all this, I think the best clubs and the good people, you did it on Footy Classified. You put up Geelong's senior people.
Yeah.
You did it how long ago? About 2 or 3 months ago, I reckon it was. And they've gone on to win. So I think, he's very, very good at what he does. Highly regarded, has to make some tough calls. But, Yeah, no, great club.
Yeah, absolutely, without any fanfare. So if you're just catching up, Jeremy Cameron won that best and fairest with Cam Guthrie, and perhaps we didn't give Cam Guthrie the credit that he deserved. I mean, we all admire the role that he plays, but often he's overlooked with Blixarves and Cameron and Hawkins and Dangerfield and the like, and Stengel's emergence this year. But what a season it is for Cam Guthrie to tie with Jeremy Cameron as a premiership winning, a best and fairest winner in a premiership season.
Amazing. Yeah. So, sorry, Kate, I'm jumping around a bit, but when I was leaving this morning at 10 to 6, 5:50, and you know who was driving into Crown was Basher Hooley.
Right.
And I said, Basher, I'm leaving at 10 to 6, which I think's early. You're coming back to the hotel. I said, he said, I want to keep routine in my life, and so I go to the mosque at 4:30.
You're kidding.
Yeah, so I'm at the mosque at 4:30. And he was really sweaty, and he said, from the mosque, I have to run. With footy finished, I need structure in my life. So the mosque, 4:30, and then he said, I run from wherever to, I go on like a 10K run. So he'd ran from Crown, round the tan, and back, ready to start his day. So it's interesting. I'm fascinated by what people's routine is.
Well, I love it because the double page spread in the Herald Sun today is about the AFL Players Association survey to players. And I just wanted to ask you, I was going to save it for a little bit later on in the show, but one of the things that they did find is, and not that Basher was a young player and he had so much success and a long career, so he was fortunate in that respect, but the delisted young players are leaving the game with challenges and significant challenges, certainly in terms of their confidence. They're anxious about what happens next with their career and what do they do after football. And not only the young players, but I think a lot of players struggle when they leave the game for that structure. Mm. So to hear that, wise, and if there's any young players listening, to keep that activity, that fitness level and that routine and structure and discipline is really important because you'll struggle without it. Righto, Lordo, the biggest news of the day relates to your club and they have a new coach. So Brad Scott was interviewed formally, I guess, for the first time yesterday. And by yesterday afternoon, the news had come through and then it was official that Brad Scott is the new coach of the Essendon Football Club. Your initial thoughts, I guess it wasn't any surprise to you, but how do you digest the news that Brad Scott signed a four-year contract at about $3.5 to $4 million to be the next coach of the Bombers?
I'm really pleased, Kane. I know we discussed it, and I think you maybe said it'd be a safe choice for Essendon, and I think safe isn't disrespectful to Brad Scott because he's a 200-game coach, a very intelligent person. I think that Essendon needed someone pretty strong, I think, to walk into what they're going to walk into. I still think the factions that have been at the club and it's been a bit of a broken club. And when you're not having success, it's sort of, like being on Survivor. It can become every man for themselves in a sense. Yeah. And that's what the club's been like. Tough decisions have been made, with the change of president, change of CEO. That CEO should be announced in the next sort of 5 or 6 days. Brad, to me, just has a real presence and an aura. He's a good coach. He and his brother you can just see when you listen to them. You believe what they're having to say. The question was asked, is he good at developing players and all those sorts of things at North Melbourne? I reckon maybe you had to keep topping up a fair bit because of the club that they are. So, I've got really good, strong belief and faith in whoever it was. I just want to support what they did, Kane, because I think it's about Essendon people coming together and being on the same page again, which the club hasn't been for a long, long time.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy with it. The overwhelming response has been positive, I think, in relation to Brad Scott's appointment. Now, Mitch Clearer was reporting last night that the first conversation with the Essendon coaching panel was 3 weeks ago. Brad decided to sort of hold off anything formally until after the grand final. He's going to speak to the media for the first time today alongside David Barham at 11:30, and hasn't a lot changed since, they did move on from Ben Rutten with the idea of getting Alistair Clarkson in. And you would have to think it's somewhat been fortunate for them that they didn't land Alistair Clarkson, really. Can you imagine the chaos that would be unfolding at Essendon if it had been Alistair Clarkson with everything that is going on now? So they'll have some real stability behind that. I guess the only question, and I wanted to put this to you, is do you feel like they ran a proper process to get him? Because, as I said, interviewed him officially formally for the first time yesterday, and he was announced by the coach yesterday afternoon. So they must have made that decision some time ago, you would think.
Yeah, there's no doubt they would have been talking to him for a number of weeks, but he wasn't willing to, I think, fully present until this week. But yeah, there's no doubt in their mind they felt like they had their man. And yeah, I don't know how Adam Uzay and James Hurd and Dean Solomon and Brendan Lade would be feeling this morning, going, was I ever in this? And was I ever going to get this position? But I don't think they fully knew whether Brad Scott was going to be in. So Brad Scott was asking as many questions about Essendon as they were about him. So I think that's where, you know, they do the process. It would have been interesting if Brad Scott wasn't in. I think Uzay and James Hurd, there was probably a bit of a split going on there of who was the right fit for them. I think in a sense, Brad Scott was unanimous. So across the board that he'd be the best fit for them. And I think even the players, Kane, I think the players, you know, like you think of Parrish and Merritt and Stringer, they need someone very strong to come in and go, this is how we're doing it. These are the boundaries. This is how we're going to play. I think they're crying out for that. And I think so many players should improve off the back of having someone strong and intelligent like Brad Scott walking through into the doors.
What do you reckon? Joining the conversation with us, 1300 23 55 48. It's the early trade for Tyre Power. Family safety is never up for trade. So expectations around what they might deliver next year, Lordo, just the 7 wins this year. They were far too easy to play against. Their defensive system broke down. They are the worst team at defending the opposition from moving the ball from back 50 to forward 50. Now, this was on the back of the previous year where they did make the finals with a young group, and it looked as though it was going to be a great launching pad for them, but it completely fell apart. It is early days, but do you think the Essendon fans, who have been reasonably patient but getting impatient now, would expect finals next year? Or is this more of a slow, methodical build to get to the point where it's not just finals, it's top four and in contention to win premierships? Because I probably lean towards that more so than an instant sort of sugar hit bump finals next year. But having that sustained success is what I'd be after.
I agree. And I think that, you know, with Essendon, like, got nothing out of Cox this year. You know, Zach Reid, Perkins. There's a lot of blokes who just plateaued this year for whatever reason. So I think there'll be a huge bounce in performance. So 7 wins this year. I think the club, I'll be surprised if they don't win around the 11 wins, but it happens. A new coach comes in. We've seen what Craig McRae has done. Even when Brett Ratten got the job, instant bounce. It normally happens. So, I'd be expecting to be close to playing finals, if not playing finals. And then the year after that should be pushing for far more than that.
Your good friend Dean Solomon went to Twitter yesterday, which was interesting. So he said, congratulations to Brad Scott on becoming the senior coach of the Essendon Football Club. From a personal point of view, I want to say how proud I am of my great mate James Hurd. For him to even be in a space which allowed him to apply for this role, that's most important to me. Hashtag courage. And you can't disagree with that. And I didn't think James Hurd was right for the Essendon job, as a lot of people didn't. But I admire the fact that he put himself out there and that he's in, you know, a really good space. The question is now, do you think it's lit the fuse, Lordo, that perhaps he may go to another club, get back involved, get his hands dirty, learn another system, and then be in a really good position to be a senior coach in 2 to 3 years' time?
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Yeah, I might try and work on getting him on our program, Kane, early next week to chat about that. And I'd love to see him, because he's obviously got the passion to coach. Like we saw him going through the process. So how good would it be for him to go into another system for 12 months, 24 months, and get that coaching position? Because to me, he's doing so well in business. He's doing really well in business, but this is what his passion is to coach. Once his playing days ended, he wanted to be a coach. So it'd be great to see him go and you know, may have missed out this time, but even improve himself under somebody else in the next couple of years. But I'm with Dean. You know, to seeing where James was, he didn't want to face anybody. In the last week, he's gone to the past players, so the Essendon past players function. First time he'd gone in 12 months. First time he'd walked back into Windy Hill in 12 years. And he spoke, and you know, everyone was just absolutely rapt for him for where he had been in his life and to where he is now. Never seen him so happy which is what Dean's talking about. Just missed out on the job, but just to see him in a great space again, enjoying life again with his wife and his kids is great.
Beautifully said. 0419 187 323. You can send us a text nice and early. There's a lot we've got to get through on this first day of free agency. That is open this morning. We're going to work our way through a number of best and fairest results. The AFL Players Association report is interesting to me, and the fact that clubs that rated highly on this player survey are the clubs that are at the top of the ladder. No surprises there, but there's some interesting details in that. I want to get Matthew Lord's thoughts on that. But on the other side of this, we're going to hear from St Kilda and their list manager, James Gallagher, on Jordan Ngoi and their continued interest. There seems to be a stalemate with him and Collingwood still, despite some reports earlier this week that he had re-signed. Collingwood's best and fairest is on tonight, so I'll wait and see if there's any announcements tonight. But Jordan Ngoi's future on the agenda on the other side of this. It is Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Continental Tires, engineered in Germany, proven in Australia. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Continental Tires AFL Trade Radio. Engineered in Germany, proven in Australia. Search Continental Tires today.
Real Aussies are winning big with a Monopoly game at Macca's. Like previous Monopoly.